نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد علماء الكرام my beloved students, brothers and elders in Islam. Very often we find students coming and speaking and saying that I want to change my life. I want to become better. I'm not happy the way I'm living. There's certain qualities that are not admirable in me, and I know it's wrong, but it's hard, difficult. I find it difficult to change. And that gives such inner pleasure in our hearts to make us understand that how mischievous a youngster may be, he does not spiteful disobey Allah. He does not deliberately and defiantly disobey Allah. It is out of due to weakness, the challenges, the trials, the circumstances, the environment, that makes it difficult. How many youngsters come and say, I want to change my life. I want to be better, but it's hard. It's difficult. So the easy prescription and the easy method to understand to change our life is to inculcate one quality in our life. And what is that quality? Is to inculcate the love of Allah. When the love of Allah comes in the heart of a person, then to leave sin will not be difficult, but will become enjoyable. Whenever a person loves something, when he's attached to something, when he's passionate about something, then you find every sacrifice that is related to that thing that he's passionate about becomes a pleasure. To make one understand what I'm trying to get at, say a person is a passionate lover of fishing. MashaAllah, a lot of smiles means we are fishermen, eh? So a person, he loves his fishing. And then you'll find a person, generally to make fajr becomes a difficulty in a weekend, if not throughout the week. But here you'll find a person 1 hour before fajr will get up in the cold. He will pack his baki or whatever it is, have all his requirements, his bait, does that, in that cold he'll pack it. And then he'll drive maybe 1 hour, 2-3 hours. And maybe where the water is, the dam or the river is, it's not very close to the tar road. So he will drive another maybe 20-30 kilos inside on gravel. And then he'll reach there. And what passionate, he'll take out all his things. He'll start putting the line and putting the bait, etc. An entire day he'll spend like that. And to him, the enjoyment he's getting, one cannot understand. Probably at home, his nature and temperament is so sensitive and he's so particular that he must have hot food. Probably he'll phone the wife 15 minutes before he's returning home to say, I'm about 15 minutes away, make sure the food is hot. Maybe he wants hot roti from the tawa, so make sure it's done. I'm coming. That is his nature. But because the sport of fishing is so passionate and so loved by him, that now for him to open up baked beans and eat from the baked beans with a spoon cold, it's a pleasure. He don't have no problem with it. And now probably that weekend was his luck, what you say, that weekend it rained quite a bit. And now it created a lot of mud. And now he has started the kaspaki or so, you see it's getting stuck in the mud. Now he has to maybe call the jawar who the farm belongs to and everything, then to come and now with his 4x4 has to pull him out. And like that the whole day he go with all the difficulty. If he sleeps overnight, he sleep in a tent, on a floor. Sometimes sleep also, he won't have time for sleep. He say no, the prime time to catch is at the midnight, etc. And the pleasure he gets when that reel starts giving sign that there's a bite, no one can understand. A person who don't love the sport fishing, he will look at this person and say, this person is crazy. What he finds in fishing? Look at the difficulty he underwent for that sport. That we're not even talking of the cost factor. And he went through so much difficulty. And probably that whole weekend, he didn't catch a single fish. One person said, two qualities you can learn from a fisherman. Is hope and patience. He's always hopeful to catch a fish, and he's always said, but that whole weekend he didn't catch anything, and now he's returning back home. He makes a firm intention, next week I'm coming, maybe a better weekend for me. All that sacrifice attached to that sport, it's pleasurable. It becomes enjoyment because he loves that sport. And on the contrary, a person who don't love that sport, he don't find no pleasure in living. You say, well, I don't know how boring that sport is. All day looking at the road. But only that person who loves that sport will understand it. Exactly in the same way. When a person develops the love for Allah, every sacrifice relating to come closer to Allah becomes a pleasure. It doesn't become a difficulty. It becomes enjoyable. A person becomes passionate about it. And once he gets the taste of the love of Allah, there is no other bounty that is superior to that. No bounty. If you look at the lives of people, when they initially became attached to things of dunya and they became passionate, some are passionate about cars, and love cars, some love sport, some love other things. And later on when Allah Ta'ala, out of His mercy, imbued in their heart the love for Allah, nothing became more enjoyable to them. In fact, they had only one regret. We look at, if you study the lives of our predecessors, and our pious predecessors, you find that they had one regret. Why didn't I find Allah earlier? That is the regret. Why? I didn't find Allah earlier. It reminds me of one story. There was one person who was a thief. And he was so expert in his technique of stealing that he even built the courage to steal from the king's palace with all its protection mechanism, etc. He managed to come right into the palace and right into the place where the king's room was. And just then, he overheard the king telling the wife. The king only had one daughter, was a princess. And he told her that, you know what, I desire that my daughter must get married to a very pious husband. Probably he will take over the kingdom, and then if he's pious, he will rule with justice. Then he thought to himself, if I pretend to be pious, and I have an image of piety, and if this the king becomes aware, then what's the point? Then I don't have to go through difficulty of stealing small things. I'll get the whole kingdom. And with this intention, he decided, let me go and pretend to be a pious person. So he went into one masjid that was far out in the outskirts. People didn't know him. As people passed by, they happened to pass by, they seen this person always in the masjid, and always making zikr, in the Quran, etc. So the news reached, went around, people started greeting him. Eventually the king's intention became apparent in front of everyone that the king is intending someone to get married, the daughter to the, she was marriageable age, to get the princess married to a very pious person. So eventually the news reached the king, there is one pious person, he lives on the outskirts. He don't accept no dawat, he don't speak to anyone. So the king said, call him here, I'd like to meet him. Say, no, he won't even come here. He's a person that's very pious, he's just exclusive for Allah's remembrance. And like that he went, the king went to go visit him. When the king went to go visit him, he took some gifts. And then, in a very humble manner, the king put the proposal of his daughter towards this person. The person burst out crying. And crying, and he sobbed. And he said, oh king, to tell you the reason, the very reason that I am here was for that purpose. But what can I tell you? After so many days taking the name of Allah, the love of Allah has touched my heart and I'm not interested in the proposal. This is the effect when the love of Allah comes in the heart. That it surpasses everything. And then to leave guna will become enjoyable, will become pleasurable, will become a form of what pleasure which surpasses everything. That's why Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi mentions, in his Matnawi, he says, if Allah Ta'ala can just bestow a person with one, so to say in our terminology, one drop of Allah's love, every difficulty is a cheap bargain in this path of Allah. So many a times we find it, how can we reform? How can we change our life? This is the key ingredient. Develop the love for Allah in the heart. Now the question may come, how will we develop the love of Allah? Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi, rahmatullahi alayhi, was a khalifa of Mawlana Shaftani, rahmatullahi alayhi. He said, every morning, ponder and reflect, how many favors are cascading upon us every moment of our life. How Allah Ta'ala is favoring us so many bounties and blessings. And that in itself will make you increase your love for Allah. Will make you feel embarrassed to disobey that very same Allah who has given you all these bounties and favors. And that's one of the unique qualities of a believer. He said, one of the unique qualities of a believer, his love for Allah is very strong, very intense. And why is it so? Because he looks at everything through the spectacle of Iman. And everything he attributed to Allah. Oh Allah, this is only a favor from you. You have bestowed this on me. It is no achievement from my side. Oh Allah, the ability to see. Sometimes just close our eyes and look and think, if my world, if my life was in darkness, what would have been the condition? Allah has given me sight. Ya Allah, how can this get the marifat of Allah? Allah has given me the ears, Allah has given me the tongue. When a person recognizes, and a person recognizes the favor, why is it so easy for us to make khidmat of our parents? Because we are conscious of the fact of the favors that they have upon us through them. That's why if a stranger tell you to go do some khidmat, etc., maybe 11 o'clock at night, say, you know, go for me to the shop to buy something, it won't be as easy if your parents tell you. Because always you say, they have done a great favor on me. And the favors that they are doing upon me makes it easy for me to serve them. So what we say about Allah, has given us everything. Many a times we are grateful to insan because of the favor that they showed to us. But unfortunately, we are ungrateful to the being who has given us that favor. Like one person mentioned, he said he had a friend, and he needed to go get his eye tested, and his friend was an optician. So he went to this optician and told him, you know what, I need to check my glasses. He did all the tests, and he showed him, yeah, you will require glasses. And he told him, choose a frame, and he said, I'll get your glasses ready in some in the maybe 2-3 weeks' time. So he asked him, what's the price? Because he was friends, right? He said, normally, it's just at random a figure. So say normally it's about 2,000 rand. Because I knew, you can give it to you for 1,000 rand. Person came home with such praises of this friend to his wife. And say, guess what? This friend was so kind to me. And he was so generous. He made the price half because of my relationship with him. How said, he can acknowledge the favor of that friend that made it half, but he didn't recognize the one being that had given him the eyesight. That very being that giving him the eyesight, that he is out of his mind. So this is what we are have to train ourselves to develop the consciousness of the favors that Allah is cascading upon us every moment of our life. And then see how easy it will become to worship Allah. See how easy it will be to serve Allah. And see how difficult it will be to disobey Allah. And see how Allah appreciates when a person changes his life. And how Allah Ta'ala makes him his beloved. This is amazing. This is our Allah. That Allah will look for every opportunity to forgive us and to make us his beloved. There's one incident of Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi. He mentioned when he was going past a blacksmith who used to melt iron. So he was surprised to see that this blacksmith, with his bare hands, is putting his hand into that furnace and he's taking them and molding that iron accordingly without getting affected by the fire. And he got a shock. So Ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi thought to himself, this must be a great friend of Allah. Look at the karama that he's displaying. So he went up to this person and this blacksmith and told him, I have just observed what miracle you have performed with your hands. You must be a great friend of Allah. You must be a great friend of Allah. Please make dua for me. Ibn Jawzi was a very famous person and this person recognized him. He said, Ibn Jawzi, don't let this incident deceive you with regard to me. Let me give you my story. He said, let me tell you something. One day I was busy with my work as normal and a very beautiful lady came to ask for assistance. She was in dire straits. And because of her beauty, my nerves got the better of me. And I thought I could exploit the situation. So I told her, I'll give you assistance, but you come to my house. Immediately she understood the evil intention of me, and she just bowed her head and she went away. You see, after some time, her condition deteriorated to such an extent that she came again to me. And she again asked for assistance. And again I told her, come home, I'll assist you. And very reluctantly she turned her head and she followed me. And as I came into the house, and as she came into the house, she started trembling like a leaf. And I asked her, what's happening? She said, fear Allah Ta'ala. She said, fear Allah Ta'ala. See, this had such a profound effect on me, that immediately I told her, take the money and go. Allah protected me from saving her honor. And you see, that night in the dream, I dream of a beautiful lady with a crown in a beautiful garden. And this lady is thanking me and appreciating my gesture and said, may Allah reward you for protecting the honor of my daughter. That was the mother of this girl. And then he asked, who are you? He said, I'm the mother of this daughter and I'm from the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I must say it. And then she said, may Allah Ta'ala reward you and may Allah protect you from the fire of Jahannam. And then he said, just as I woke up and after this dua of hers, miraculously I realized that as I'm putting my hand into the furnace, the fire is not affecting me. I see the effect of this mother's dua has saved me from the fire of dunya, and I am hopeful that Allah Ta'ala will also protect me from the fire of jannah. This is how Allah, when you develop the love for Allah, when you know, understand, Allah is waiting. Allah is waiting to bring us closer to Him. And we must just show that little incentive and that fervor and that desire to get Allah and see how Allah opened the pathways. And see how Allah Ta'ala makes it easy to reach Him. And see what enjoyment a person will derive from it. I have never come across any pious person who had a bad path and changed his life and ever had the desire to return to his life of sin. Allah has replaced something far more superior than what he was involved in. Rather, you'll find them crying and sobbing over the fact that how could I disobey this merciful and kind Allah? How could I live in ghaflat? How could I live in the disobedience of Allah? So when this love of Allah is imbued in the heart of a person, see how enjoyable is it to worship Allah. See how easy it is to obey Allah. Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi say that when a person is in a gathering and he just makes the intention, ya Allah, I want to become your beloved. I want to change my life. Instantly, without making any changes, physical changes, Allah already put the crown of wilayat on his head. And our Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid, Tamad Barakatum, say, now once the crown of the wilayat is on your head, look after it, don't drop it, don't let it fall. So this is my beloved brothers and young students. Life out there is just fake, it's a deception. Shaitan wants to deprive us of letting us taste the enjoyment with the connection with Allah. So he keeps our mind occupied with everything but Allah. And he gets ourselves attached to things that will take us away from Allah. We need to now ponder and reflect. And think, Ya Allah, how many things you have given me. As I mentioned, the favors, the bounties. Once a person was walking with Umar ibn Anu during his Khilafat, and seeing a person who was blind, deaf, dumb, and even paralyzed. And I think he suffered from leprosy. And Umar ibn Anu told the companions, do you see any favor and ni'mah that this person is enjoying of Allah? He said, oh, Amir al-Mu'minin, we can't see anything. And then Amir al-Mu'minin told Umar ibn Anu, said, can't he drink water easily and pass urine easily? Isn't that a favor from Allah? Like that, how many favors we are enjoying from Allah? There are so many people that you find, they find difficulty. The famous incident which we commonly hear, the person, he had difficulty in passing urine, urine blocked, and he had to go for a procedure. And after they unblocked his passage so that he could pass urine like it's normal, when the bill was shown to him, he burst out crying. Doctors felt that maybe he's finding difficulty to pay, do the payment, so the doctor tried to console him and said, no, we'll make an arrangement that you can pay it in installments. And he said, doctor, you are misunderstanding why I'm crying. The reason I'm crying is that so many years in my life I passed urine normally, not once Allah sent me a bill. Just one time to unblock my urine, as my passage so my urine can flow as normal, I have to pay a high price for it. Really. So if we look at this and look at the favors of Allah and how Allah is showing us, and the way we show gratitude to Allah is to use these favors and bounties in the obedience of Allah. Use these things to get closer to Allah. To get Allah. Once we got Allah, we got everything. And let us try to work. That's why the famous incident of Ayaz and Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullah alayh, when he opened up his treasures for the people to grab whatever they want, Ayaz just put his hand on the king. Why? See, if I got the king, I got everything. Once we got Allah, we got everything. And really, we can have everything, but we haven't got Allah, we got nothing. We may have the amenities of comfort, but we will not enjoy comfort. We may have the amenities of happiness, but we will not enjoy happiness. And on the contrary, we may not have the amenities of happiness, but we got Allah, we will enjoy happiness from within. See, happiness comes from within. The ruh experience happiness. And that is why when we build our connection with Allah, when we build our ta'alluq with Allah, then see what enjoyment from a different realm, from a different angle. That's why our pious predecessors and all our buzruks, they are emphasizing on this point. Get the taste of this ta'alluq with Allah. Get the taste of the enjoyment of the ta'alluq with Allah and see what opens up for you. Then you look back and you will say, Ya Allah, how foolish I was. I was focusing on something that was so trivial. It is said, just to give us an example, like a small child, you find a 4-year-old child. He's in his own world of his enjoyment. He's got his small matchbox car, for example, and he makes the sand and he puts tunnels and he's playing in his own world. And that is his dream world. And as he grows a little bigger, then maybe his father buys him a remote control car. Now he can control. Hey, now that is his. Now he looks at a matchbox and you see, it doesn't even interest him. Something, so now he got something better. And later on, then maybe his father buys him a car that he can sit in and now control and battery operated. Now that remote control even means nothing to him. And later on, maybe his father buys him a quad bike and later he gets a car. Then he looks back and says, I was immature in that thinking that was my world. Now I got something far better. In this line, in this tasawuf, and this line to reach Allah, same thing. As a person is attaching himself to the trivial things of this dunya, which is so temporary, and he gets so much, he gets impressed, and these novelties of this dunya becomes part of him, and it's an integral part of his heart. But as he stretches apart and as he progresses, and just like how the child is getting something better, he doesn't even turn his eye towards those things which he was enjoying in the past, in the same way like that. It's just exactly the same way. As he's going further and further, Allah Ta'ala let him see the reality of the deception of the dunya, and Allah opens up something far more greater that he doesn't even have a chance to look back at the things of this dunya. I'll just conclude with one incident. It's a famous incident that's mentioned. There was a very poor family in India, and the person, it was, that time was different seasons, you know, so the time was a yo-yo season, and then you get different seasons, play, top, marbles, whatever it is. So in that area, in the village, there was a slow yo-yo season, and everybody was playing yo-yo, and then the poor family, the son, he begged his father, "Oh father, buy me a yo-yo." But the father was very poor, and the father couldn't afford it. He said, "My child, I can't afford this yo-yo." Eventually, he was very intelligent in the school. He came out excelling in marks, etc. When he completed matric, the community got together and said, "I think we all get together and we all put money together and send him to go study. It will be a great benefit for our village." So they all gave money and they sent him overseas too, because he had a scholarship to overseas to go study. And like that, he went to go study, and he studied. He became a top doctor, a specialist. He got married there also. And now he was, after so many years, he was returning. So one can imagine the excitement in the village. And they made a big welcoming for him at the airport. And as they all were coming to the airport to come receive him, and as they all coming, and he's there with his wife, and proud that he has succeeded and he qualified and he's got his certificate as a specialist. Everybody's greeting him, congratulating. He's asking, "Where's my father?" "See, your father's gone old now." He'll come slowly with his stick. And as he's coming with his stick, and he's coming towards his father, and his father is coming towards him to greet him. His father's standing in front of everybody and his wife, "I brought a present for you, please open it. I want you must open it." Very excitedly, the person opens it, and what he sees in that box, he sees a yo-yo. And his face becomes red with embarrassment. He says, "Oh my father, why are you embarrassing me now? Why you embarrass me in front of my wife and all my people, all the people that have come to congratulate me and welcome me?" The father was a very wise person, and he said, "Oh my son, I want to teach you a very great lesson. And if you can take this home, it's sufficient." He says, "I just want to teach you a lesson. That yesterday's amusement is today's embarrassment. That not today's amusement be tomorrow's embarrassment on the day of Qiyamah. That they not embarrass us on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah give us a tawfiq, inshallah. That we have come here with that desire. That how we can get Allah, how we can get the love of Allah, and how we can work our life in such a manner that we gain Allah. May Allah make it such that when we leave this world, the best moment of our life is that time. That our meeting with Allah is the best meeting. That we leave this world, that our last day is the best day, our last amal is the best amal, and our last statement is the best amal. Allah give us tawfiq to make amal, whatever it says. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.